Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Third hour on the show. Tiki and Tierney coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Third hour, Tiki and Tierney. Happy Wednesday, everybody. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Next segment, just close your eyes for a minute unless you're driving. Just envision this, and then Tiki and I will really expand on this coming up in about 18 minutes here on the show. Can't wait for this conversation. Imagine watching the PGA Tour, all right, and Tiger Woods is active. He's an active golfer, and so is Phil, and so is Dustin, and I don't know, so is Rory, so is Jason Day, whoever else you want to throw in there. And you're watching the PGA Tour, but on another channel, Tiger Woods is playing a different tournament that is not under the PGA umbrella, but yet an entirely new league. It sounds wacky. It's not, and I'll tell you why coming up. All right, Carlos Beltran. This is a strange one here.
Yeah.
Carlos Beltran, now we know Carlos Beltran's been positioned as the driving force behind the cheating scandal with the Astros. What we're now learning, and I'm not sure, how am I supposed to believe this? Because grown men aren't, grown men are not pushed around in this manner.
Yep.
Especially by an old fogey who's 40-something years old at that point.
I'm not
Carlos Beltran.
I'm not buying this.
Neither
thing.
Am I, but just let me set it up and I'll give you a first crack at
yep.
this. So basically, if we're supposed to believe this story, I think the Athletic had it, which really has done a great job with this in terms of the start of the scandal going back to November. Brian McCann, catcher, went and said, "Hey, listen, in so many words, you got to stop this. Time to move on. We're done, right?" And basically, Carlos Beltran strong-armed the entire team to keep cheating. This is the story.
Yeah, this is Carlos Beltran at like 39, right? Who is just coming to the organization, and all of a sudden he's like the man who's the godfather of the organization. And now I get it. He's older and he's trying to say, "Hey, let's do this way. This is the way I want to do it." Like, and some of these guys, younger guys may be intimidated, but you're going to tell me that Bregman and Altuve, who not too soon after is going to win the MVP. Like these guys,
Reddick's been around a long time.
Exactly. That they're kowtowing to Carlos. Come on.
I'm not saying that at all. No chance.
There's no chance that this is accurate. And the more, like, I don't get pissed off about a lot of things, BT, in sports, but this upsets me every time I think about it. I don't know why. Like, some things in sports just bother me.
Okay.
This is bothering me, mainly because I always think back to the clutchness of this Astros team and the fact that they were cheating to be clutch. And because I love greatness, right? I love watching sport for greatness. It was the first thing we said on this show. I said on this show almost eight years ago when we started, seven and plus, right? And I was watching a great team develop. Mm-hmm. And it was like, dude, Jose Altuve, look, he's like 5'6". Right? He's awesome, man. This dude he was an overachiever. If you've ever seen one in Correa and Bregman, these guys were on like Sports Illustrated.
Springer,
years before. Predicting that they were going to win the World Series, and here they are actually making it happen. Mm-hmm. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that that's all cheated out of me. It's like it feels cheap now. And so the fact that they got away without being punished, and to be honest, most of them without apologizing, it pisses me off. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people are that way. And as much as we saw this as a defining moment for Rob Manfred, who handed down a harsh penalty, which is probably as strong as he could go, it ultimately led to the firing of Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch, he messed it up. He didn't punish the players.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what it's starting to feel like is he went to the Astros and were like, "All right, we're going to give you immunity. Tell us what happened." and they told these tall tales about being bullied by Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
And he bought it and was like, okay, great. Fantastic. You guys are free and clear. Handing down this harsh penalty on the Astros and draft picks and $5 million fine and A.J. Hinch and Luhnow, you guys are done for a season. Who knows what happens? And Carlos Beltran, I'm coming after you. I know you were a player, technically immune, but I'm coming after you now that you're the skipper of the Mets and you're going to be kicked out of this league. What about the Boston Red Sox?
Still waiting.
Still waiting, by the way.
Ron Radke overseeing camp, by the way.
What about these other teams that probably were doing the same thing? Mm-hmm. You expedited this, quote, investigation to make it go away and have your shining moment in the sun. You did an improper job, and now we're all pissed off because you screwed it up.
Yep.
Right? I can't absolve Rob Manfred. People are trying to. They really are. But he screwed this up because the players haven't apologized. And until they do or face some sort of punishment, we're all going to go into spring training or pitchers and catchers or whatever the hell is around the corner.
There.
Exactly. And continue to have these conversations. They're not going away. Period.
Is there anything that Manfred can do?
Yes, there is.
From now until whenever to change your opinion?
He's got to go implore those guys that he gave immunity to come clean.
Come clean in what regard?
And
what,
say,
Matt, what do you mean?
Look,
you mean publicly?
Yes, you're free and clear. You're not going to get punished, but you got to stand up and take account for what we know is true, right? I keep seeing this video of Jose Altuve running to the home base, holding his shirt.
Like
he's literally holding his shirt, BT. Mm-hmm. Like, don't take my shirt off.
And mouthing the words.
And saying, don't take my shirt off. Yeah. Oh, we just won the ALCS. Hey, everybody changing our shirts. Woo-hoo! On the field. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Yeah. Hey, get a dry shirt, buddy.
I got my shirt on.
You all good? You leave the buzzer in the locker room, Jose?
I mean, come on. I mean, last night, but not last night. I mean, last night. Come on, man.
Yeah, I love your passion for this, man. And
it
listen,
just pisses me off.
I can really tell it. I love it. And you're not alone. And I'm not ashamed to say that I misread this. And I have said this before on the show.
We all did.
No, but I mean, I misread how Manfred handled it. I actually gave him praise. I said, man, really probably valuing draft picks more than the average fan, knowing how the Astros have drafted and developed to get to this point.
It's one of their biggest selling points.
Absolutely. Like they're not cutting $500 million checks. Like, you know, they just don't do that. So to take away a first and a second round pick in back-to-back years, I'm like, man, he's dropping the hammer pretty hard, and I'm prepared to move past this. But you're right, and I have since walked that back. It is it's a hollow penalty. You know, it's sometimes you got to take the sledgehammer out. You got to squash that gnat. And the blood and the guts has to go everywhere for everybody to see.
Yep.
For everybody to know that gnat's not going to bother anybody at the barbecue anymore.
That's right.
And the problem is the gnat is still buzzing around the barbecue now. And the barbecue's just starting.
Exactly.
That's actually pretty good. That's a good setup right there. It's true.
Right?
I don't really know where that was going.
You hate the gnats, man. You hate them.
What?
Not the Nationals, who actually bested the...
Thank God they won.
Bested the Astros. Because interestingly, Alex Cora and others told them, watch out for the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
They might be cheating.
Yeah, you see that story? I did see that
story. So the Nats were able to overcome it and beat the mighty evil.
I want to read the quote, though. Here's the quote. This was in The Athletic, right? So, quote, he disregarded it. This is when he was, you know, confronted and refused to change when confronted by McCann. He disregarded it, and he steamrolled everybody. A member of the 2017 Astros said of Beltran's response to McCann's concerns. Where do you go if you're a young, impressionable player at the Astros and this guy says, we're doing this, what do you do? Now, to be fair, listen, if you're the 23rd man on the roster who's going back and forth between Triple-A, and by the way, Tiki's pointing to the TV, and Tanaka right now as they open up camp down in Florida for the Yankees. I mean, he's saying, I feel cheated out of a World Series. Aaron Boone is probably saying something similar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to pay attention to the show, but I did see that by Tanaka. It was transcribed. He didn't speak much English at all. And it was on the screen, I feel cheated out of the World Series. So this is just starting, which we've said, mm-hmm. you know, for a couple of weeks. Players show up to camp. It's the first question they're going to be asked. And they're going to give honest assessments because they're pissed off. Now, if you're a role player, if you're like a Rule 5 player and you're the fifth outfielder, yeah, you're probably going to listen to Beltran. Springer, you know, I mean, these other guys that we all know who they are. Be like, dude, if I don't want to do it, I'm not doing it. Get
That's
lost,
right.
old man.
You're right.
Get lost, Grandpa.
I agreed.
So, I mean, so I don't understand.
And now you're hearing about
this,
like,
aspect of the story,
like the spreadsheets and this, yeah. like this advanced road scouting that they were doing as well. Did they had to move to real time? And so, the fact that they knew that this was frowned upon because the MLB knew about it. And the other thing that is that's gaining some traction here is that Rob Manfred was like, "Oh, it's the first time I ever heard of it," which is nonsense because people have been warning the MLB for years.
It can't be the first time they ever heard, because they banned apples the Apple
that's
Watch
right.
and tablets from the dugout.
That's exactly
so
right.
So there was an early initiative to eliminate digital aspects in the
right.
dugout
and
baseball.
It's, and so when,
it's a lie.
It's crazy because when I think about it now, I remember at the time. The Apple Watch thing was because I had just gotten an Apple Watch.
Of course,
I wanted to try it out for running.
Buy a few good. More. My stock keeps going up.
Exactly.
Keep buying them.
Exactly. But I remember buying one and being like, or having one when the Apple Watch ruling came down in MLB, and I'm like, what do they do? Like, what's an Apple Watch gonna do?
Yeah.
But then you realize it's someone sitting out in the outfield. Texting immediately because you can't have a phone.
Nope.
But you can have your Apple Watch buzz or get whatever signal, and someone sends you a text message. Get it right away. Fastball.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not like the texter is writing FASTB or CHANGE.
He's sending like a period.
One just type number one.
Exactly.
One fast, two curve, three right. change, a four slide or five right. splitty, whatever. I mean, and then you can take that and process with a bang.
It makes more sense now.
You can.
The Apple Watch makes more sense now than it did when I first heard it. Because I didn't understand how it translated to what was it going on the field. Now I get it.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on this Astros story. But, you know, I'm with you on Manfred. I had high hopes for him. This is a knock on his commissionership for sure.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, if you think that this story, I'm not saying that Joel was played a fool because Joel's a great reporter, but if you don't think that Rob Manfred wanted that story dropped when it was dropped,
yesterday.
The timing of it, of course, talking about the recalibration of the playoffs, you're a dope.
Yep.
Because it's common sense. When people want to diffuse or distract, you plan something else, you talk about that, and you forget about what's over there. It's PR 101.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, baseball doesn't look very good. Rob Manfred doesn't look very good right now. All right, coming up. Send it over to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has got about a 196, a little downwind, nine miles per hour. Looks like Tiger's got the 7 in his hand. Tiger Woods. Tiger's going to be playing golf. Question is Tiger and other luminaries of the sport going to be playing under the PGA umbrella? This is a legitimate threat, and I can't wait to talk about it, which we will next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, it's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So I want to get to this story, this new league where details are scarce. It has not been fully implemented. It might not ever come to fruition, but it's deep enough in the staging processes and enough important people have been approached and they're on the record as such that it certainly carves out a conversation here. Now, it's called the Premier Golf League,
mm-hmm.
and their goal is to rival the PGA Tour and the European Tour. And you might say, no chance. Good luck with that. Okay, and that might sound like a fair retort. But I want to ask you, and you as a business person, Teak, you'll know the answer to this. When you have secondary leagues, what are the two things that generally force those leagues to fold fast? What would you say?
One, a lack of capitalization.
Correct.
Which this league does not have because it appears to be from a sovereign wealth fund in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And a huge, another big financier. And then two, it's celeb. Why do I care?
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me the celeb. Who's the celeb? And if it's
Bingo.
Not there... then you're not going to tune in.
You nailed it.
You need the star power.
And I knew that you'd get those because that's basic business. Then there's a few other ones, you know, trying not to grow too quickly,
mm-hmm.
you know, bite off more than you could chew.
Yep.
You have the proper TV and radio deals and audio content and distribution. There's other aspects to it, but those are the two primary things. Do you have the bank to let it flourish?
Yep.
And do you have the stars that people want to tune in to watch? Now, You look at something like the Big Three, right? The Big Three, and obviously I'm involved in it, so I have a little bias here. But the reason why the Big Three flourishes and the numbers are improving and the footprint on society is increasing is because they're not trying to take on the NBA.
Yeah, it's true.
Because they'd get swallowed up in a minute if they did.
True.
Much like the USFL, who had a little fun.
You mean the XFL?
The USFL.
Oh, the USFL back in the day.
Yeah, who had a little fun and had a good thing going. Steve Young, some big time for them. Jim Kelly. Oh, let's take on the NFL. Bang! You're done.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, so you have to know your limitations, and it seems like the Premier Golf League might.
Yeah, and the parallels are obviously the XFL, the Big Three that we talked about, because they're financed. They clearly have star power in the Big Three.
Ice Cube's, he's the front man.
Agreed, but also all the players that we know.
Yeah.
And then with the XFL, they're developing some of that star power. There's some names that you know from college, but they clearly have the bank, you know what I mean, because Vince McMahon. So the challenge here,
and they've got good TV and broadcast partners.
Exactly right. So you're gonna see it.
Uh-huh.
They're not trying to take on the NBA or the NFL, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
The Premier Golf League, however, or professional, is it Premier or professional? Whatever it is,
the Premier
Golf League is trying to take on the PGA and the European Tour. And just to like understand a little bit of the background of this, this becomes a little bit interesting because think of all the golf tournaments where Tiger doesn't play or Rory doesn't play or any other top 10 player.
And there's a few of them.
You're just not seeing them.
No.
And so it's like every weekend there's a golf tournament. But do you really care? Because there's not – is Tiger playing? Is Rory
playing?
Lacks
star power. It is what it is.
The only time you really see them all together is when they're playing in the majors, which there are four, and the PGA Championship. And so other than that, all the top players in the world aren't together all the time. So what this Premier Golf League is trying to do is create a series that has the top 48 players play all the time, all over the world. And that's the other thing about this. The PGA, which we love because they've been very good to our show.
Love the PGA.
And have one of the greatest products in the golf world, really in sports world, that's out there.
Yeah.
They don't play. It's North American based, right? So they don't play.
Well, they had one not in China.
But
they're beginning to branch out.
Yeah,
that is my point.
But so the interesting like problem point that the Premier League, Golf League is trying to take on, the PGA is already starting to address a little bit. That becomes the challenge. Now, could this work? Yes, but they're going to need like the stars to defect.
That's the whole thing.
And I don't know if the stars are ultimately going to defect.
They might not. Here's some more details. So the new tour has proposed an 18-event schedule from January through September with 48-player fields, as Tiki mentioned, $10 million purses each week with a season-ending team championship. The idea is to create a star-driven global tour that would obviously play around the world for guaranteed money. So, listen, let's face it. You show up at Tournament X, you shoot a 77 and a 73, you slam your trunk on Friday afternoon, you get nothing.
Yeah.
You lose money because you can't pay for your own accommodations and that for your caddy. Now, do I think that Tiger and others are going to jump? Not yet.
I don't.
But what's interesting about this, and you need something that's unique to lure in the big name, they are talking about possible ownership, a stake in the Premier Golf League, which Tiger Woods will never have in the PGA.
Yeah.
That's one aspect.
But he's also made a ton of money.
But he wants to make a ton more.
And the sponsors of the PGA have jumped on board with a lot of the stars of the PGA.
Yeah, but if Tiger goes to this, where do you think they'll go?
There's also an enormous pension and retirement benefits that are part of the PGA that they would have to forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot.
They could just carry it over.
Well,
they wouldn't have to forfeit it.
Well, yes.
Yeah, 401k is transferable.
But if
the
it's there for them already.
Yeah.
But, I mean, does the Premier have the assets?
But even if they don't, whatever they have accrued, they don't lose.
I know that.
It just stops adding to it.
But stop adding to it. And it's significant for some of these guys.
For sure.
So,
for sure.
I mean, there's a lot of hurdles for this to happen, least the most important of which are the players going to come. The second of which, and this is a downstream issue, is the PGA has made a lot of stars over the years. Can the Premier Golf League also make stars like the PGA did? That's what I don't know. Like, what tournaments are we going to watch? Are you going to watch all of them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe. But which ones are going to be the Masters, like which ones are going to be the U.S. Open or the Open Championship or whatever they may be. Like which ones are they?
The staples.
That are going to make stars out of not this current crop of stars, but the ones that follow, right? Because the league has sustainability. It's not just about Tiger and Phil. It's the everyone that comes behind them that are going to be the next set of stars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you raise an interesting point about the majors here. All these, well, not all, most, I think that that's a fair generalization. You don't want to speak in general terms, but I think it's a fair generalization. Most professional golfers grow up, if they're not affluent, they grow up around the country club setting where their dad is maybe the head pro, the club pro, so he does well. Maybe not a millionaire, but he does well. They have nice lifestyle, and part of that lifestyle is really respecting and chasing and admiring the majors, you know, and knowing what Bobby Jones and Sam Snead and these pioneers to the game of golf meant to the Open Championship and to the Masters. So if by the way, I should have been clear about that. You cannot do both, at least according to the Premier. So if you were to jump to the Premier, you can't zigzag back and forth. You can't, you know, you're playing in the APA or you're playing in the NBA. You're not playing in the PGA or the PGA Tour and in the Premier League. You know, I got to tell you, of all the things that I've read and heard about possible startups, this one truly has a chance because you just have to break it down to its most basic form. If LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Kyrie and Ja Morant and Zion Williamson and AD and five or six other guys jump to a new league, you going to watch that league?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. So if Tiger and some others jump to the new league, are you going to watch the new league?
You're going to at least check it out.
The answer is yes.
Yep. The question is sustainability. And I think the other question becomes, you know, what is the PGA and the European Golf Tour, what do they do to salvage themselves, right? Because this would be a fight. This would not be a...
Oh, this would be...
This would not be, okay, we're just going to let you go. This would be... It would be a fight for the PGA to retain their stars and who has the upper hand if that should come to fruition.
That's a great point, and that's what makes it very unique because, like, if I'm an NBA player, I'm beholden to the team that I'm under contract for.
Yeah.
So if I have a four-year contract, I can't go anywhere. Otherwise, it's a breach of contract.
Yep.
I'm a PGA player. Yeah, I've got my PGA Tour card, but contractually, there's no, to my knowledge, there's no contract because you pay for your caddy's accommodations.
Yeah.
You pay for your own accommodations. I mean, really, if I perform well, you pay me.
Yeah.
If I don't, I make nothing.
By the way, this has been in discussions for 6 years now.
Yeah. Is it that long?
Rory McIlroy said that he was approached in 2014.
Mm.
And so I believe, there's got to be a lot of, like, behind the scenes conversations going on with venues, sponsors, etc., which are all on the hypothetical because this doesn't exist yet. You know, this is so it's just a lot of speculation right now. The other question, though, BT, like, we are a Tiger Woods driven world in a sense from golf, at least a lay golf fan. You'll tune in because the Tiger effect. Tiger's our age. He's 45, right? He's 44.
He's 44.
44, about to be 44.
Yeah.
He's our age. He's going to retire from, like, competitive golf. 2 years?
No. More
three?
Than that. No.
Four?
No.
Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. 4 years? Are we still going to tune in if Tiger's not playing? You know what I mean?
Well,
If Phil's not playing, are we still going to tune into this league?
You mean the Premier or the PGA?
The PGA.
Or anything.
The PGA, we will because it'll be on. Right? This, we don't know.
I'll watch anything golf-related. I used to watch the big break.
But you're the diehard.
True.
I'm talking about
I know what you mean.
The lay golf fan.
I do not think that they would sustain viewership.
Yeah.
If Tiger helps launch it, gets a big, you know, incentive, a big cut, big piece of the pie to be the front man, so to speak, or Phil, whomever it is. Eventually, as much as, you know, I mean, if Tiger tees it up in a senior event, I'll probably watch a little bit of that.
I hear you.
But Tiger at 55 years of age, you know, completely bald and a belly is not going to be the ratings maven that he's been for the duration of his entire life. All right, let me play this for you real quick. First up, Tiger Woods on the Premier League itself.
Have I been personally approached? Yes. And my team's been aware of it, and we've delved into the details of it and trying to figure it all out, just like everyone else. You know, we've been down this road before with World Golf Championships and other events being started or other tours want to evolve and start. There's a lot of information that we're still looking at and whether it's a reality or not. But I, just like everybody else, we're looking into it.
All right, so that's full transparency from Tiger. We're looking into it, see what they got to say. My team's all ears. What do you got?
Yeah, look, and if you missed that there, one of the things he said was that the World Golf Championships were started because of exactly the problem that we talked at the beginning of the segment, BT.
Yeah.
Not enough of the big name players, the stars of the PGA are together at one time. They're not all playing the same events. That's why the events. That's why the World Golf Challenge was launched. The other thing that you keep hearing, you hear this from the European Tour, you hear this from the PGA Tour, is this, is it a reality? Like, they keep referencing the same thing. Sounds good, but we don't know if it's real yet.
Well, Tiger talked about that on the chances whether or not it could actually work. Final cut before we get Axe update. Go ahead, Tiger.
Well, I think that just like all events, you're trying to get the top players to play more collectively. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, we institute the World Golf Championships, because we were only getting together, what, five times a year, the four majors and the players. And you want to showcase the top players on more than just those occasions. We came up with the World Golf Championships, and we're meeting more often. And so this is a natural evolution, whether or not things like this are going to happen. But the ideas are like this are going to happen going forward, you know, whether it's now or any other time in the future.
We will follow. Very transparent. Yeah, they approached me. Yeah, we're listening. Yep, my team is all ears. I mean, Tiger loves his money. Mm-hmm. Nobody loves their, I mean, sure, there are people that actually literally do love money more than Tiger Woods, but Tiger Woods loves his money.
Tiger who?
Tiger Woo. That reputation as a horrendously cheap tipper does not come without any sort of merit. Tiger,
there's
Tiger,
no way. I refuse to believe.
I lived in Vegas when he was just coming up.
Okay, he was just coming up. No. He didn't have any money.
He had millions from Nike when he was 15. He signed whatever it was.
Tiger's and made It's February 12th. He's made $1.9 million this year.
Oh, this year?
This year.
And he was
How crazy is that?
He was doing his Tiger Jam. I don't know that he still does it, as a matter of fact, but it was a great initiative.
I went to one of those one year.
In Vegas?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
When he started launching it, I was working out there, and the word on the strip was the Tiger might be the man, but Tiger a little tight with the buck. I'm just telling you. I mean, let's face it, the reputation's kind of come from somewhere.
Look, he's made a ton of money off the course. You realize that on course, he's made about half as money, about much money as Eli Manning did.
So he's made about 115?
120 million on course. Career earnings, 120 million.
That's fuel for whatever new, whether it's this one or 20 years.
It's interesting.
If you're getting guaranteed, now Tiger's making cuts anyway, but
in that context, it's just interesting, man.
Yeah, it is. That's why I brought it up. It's very interesting. All right, Ack, how you doing today, buddy? You okay?
Hanging in there.
Attaboy. Let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back. We'll get the blast and kick it around a little bit before we bounce in about 30, 25 minutes. Here's Ack. All right. It is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. See what's going on. This one coming in from, let's see. Yeah, let's go with this one. Cliff is in San Antonio. If Patrick Mahomes signs before Dak, how does that impact Dak's money, Teak?
I think it impacts it significantly because he's going to ask for more. Which is only going to compound the problem that we already started with. So we shall see. Patty Mahomes deserves what he's going to get.
Yep.
Dak does as well.
Yep.
It just shouldn't be as much as Pat Mahomes.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. And I still see it a little differently. Mahomes is getting 40, and, you know, I mean, Dak's not. So I don't care. I don't care what.
It's definitely raising what Dak is going to ask for. I'm telling you, it is.
What he asks for versus what he gets.
Well, he's already asking for 40.
We don't know that he's asking for 40. Where is that report confirmed? We don't know that.
Dak.
As a matter of fact, that's been refuted.
Dak came into before last season, and I remember this like clearly.
Yeah.
He said, there will be enough for all of us to sign big deals because the salary cap is going to go over 200 something million. So,
okay.
He's not.
I didn't hear anything about 40 million in that sequence there.
That's just the next number. That's the number that's going to happen when the salary cap, when you do percentage of cap, it's 19% and 200 $10 million, 200, I think actually the projection is 202 for this year. The following year, which is the year that would be the second of his franchise number, is $210 million. Okay. 19 to slash 20% of that number is $40 million. So
he's not getting 40 million.
I don't disagree, but quarterbacks are averaging 19, the top end at 18 to 19% of a salary cap, which is ridiculous to think about.
Yeah.
But that's what he's going to ask for. I'm just
but
telling
he's not getting
you.
It.
I know he's not
so
going to get it.
What does he get?
But that's what he's going to ask for.
34.5. That's the number I've been sticking around.
If I was the Cowboys,
yep.
Whatever Russell Wilson is making, 36.
Russell's making 30, mid 30s.
35, 36.
Yep.
1 million more. I'd do it right, sign it right.
I'd give him one penny more. I don't know if
whatever,
I give him a
whatever
million.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever it is.
The symbolic.
Symbolically, but do it right now.
Yeah.
Because once Pat Mahomes signs it, his people, maybe not him, are going to ask for it.
As they should. That's their job.
Exactly right.
All right, let's get to the blast. Here we go, D-Cell. What do you got today, buddy?
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
There's no way you can believe that. I haven't even heard this sound, but I'm already going to call nonsense on it. We'll play it for you anyway. Chargers GM Tom Telesco says the team is happy with their current quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor and Easton Stick, which, by the way, is an awesome name. Easton is a baseball bat.
Yeah,
Easton is a great Stick. Is, I mean, it gets you to be playing right field, batting third for somebody.
I wonder,
not trying to be a backup quarterback. Easton Stick.
I wonder if
what a great name.
If he actually like started as a baseball.
It had to be. I mean,
like his dad loved baseball. He
had
loved
to
baseball.
Be.
Had to be.
Had
right?
to be. Here we go from Telesco.
First of all, it's too early to eliminate any options, but we do like our internal options right now. Tyrod Taylor is a player that's won in this league. Teammates respect him. We all respect him. And, you know, we think he has a style that can fit what we do. And, you know, we have some high hopes for Easton Stick. You know, Easton's still a young quarterback that has a little ways to go.
Oh, man, if I'm a Chargers fan, I'm depressed hearing that. Mm-hmm. I can't trust ownership. I just can't. I'm sorry. If they can't get Tua or Burrow, should they draft, say, Justin Herbert at number 6 from Oregon?
I don't know, man. This kid, Easton Stick, he followed Carson Wentz at North Dakota State. He might, like rub off. You know, some
of
that
big country boys
excellence
strong.
might rub off. They should definitely. They're not going to be able to draft the guy. So Teddy Bridgewater probably makes.
Wait, what do you mean they can't draft? Like, do you can't get Justin Herbert number 6? They could.
Yeah. Well, true. For some reason, I thought they were lower. I thought they're 6 or 16.
Six.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they're going to draft. So they should draft then. The other side of it, though, if they go free agency, which there's going to be availability, because it's starting to look like Teddy Bridgewater won't be a Saint because Taysom Hill is saying, I want to be a quarterback and not a gimmick guy.
Saying that pretty loud the last couple days,
agreed.
Too.
And given, I at this point in his career, why not?
Got to get paid. 31 years old.
You got to say what you got to say about yourself, right?
Yep.
So he's going to bet on himself. So there's a good chance, and we know that Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So if Teddy Bridgewater goes elsewhere, that would be the other option. Los Angeles Chargers make a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though. The thing about Herbert, at first my instinct was no. I don't like Herbert as much as others. I might be proven to be really off on that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chargers, despite drafting 6th, are actually in a position to win a lot sooner than I think most people think.
Yeah.
And if you draft Herbert...
Good wide receivers.
Oh, for sure. That's why Tyrod Taylor might actually not be a bad stopgap. He got the Bills in the playoffs. Tyrod Taylor knows how to win a little bit. And if you had Tyrod Taylor, who's a pro, and Herbert's in the same room, and then eventually you transition to Herbert, might not be the worst plan out there.
He's just not going to...
If you love Herbert.
He's just not going to excite you, Tyrod Taylor.
No, he's not. But Rivers wasn't exciting anybody last year or two anyway.
Great point.
All right, the Pacers and the Bucks tonight. How about this quirky stat? Oladipo, since he returned, they're 1-6. I don't think he played one of those games, but still 1-6. So do we chalk this up to just gelling, or is there a bigger issue with the Pacers and Oladipo? Listen, I thought that they were certainly overachieving without Oladipo.
Mm-hmm.
I really, quite frankly, don't know how.
I don't know. I mean,
well, they would have been 30 and
what are they right now?
And they would have been 30-17. If you take away the 1-6 since Oladipo came back.
Yeah.
So I thought 30-17 or whatever, 30-17 was a little bit better than I thought they would be without Oladipo. That's all I'm saying. Not that they'd be bad.
No, I hear what you're saying.
I thought they'd be certainly formidable because they're a good franchise.
Yep.
Do we chalk it up to gelling? You know, listen, I mean, ball distribution, role allocation, refamiliarizing yourself. There's nuance in basketball. It's not baseball. It's not nine guys getting in a batter's box. So I'm going to say that I think they partially overachieved to start, and right now they are partially trying to find their way with an old player, with Oladipo, who was there for a while, but obviously hasn't played in a while.
Yeah, look, this team is very young. Like, we don't chalk it up that way. In fact, Malcolm Brogdon, who just came over, has been playing really good basketball this season. He's kind of like their oldest starter. He's only 27 years old. Mm-hmm. T.J. Warren's 26. Sabonis is 23. Miles Turner is also 23. And so when you inject a new person into a young team's rotation and they're young, they often kind of take steps back.
Even if that guy was there the previous year?
Yeah, because they, with Malcolm Brogdon now being the old man of the group, so to speak, they're playing a different style than they were with Victor Oladipo at the helm. And so they had to adjust without Victor Oladipo. Now they got to adjust back to him, and you're seeing some growing pains.
Well, baseball Joe Maddon says Theo Epstein changed things last season in Chicago on him, shut Maddon out of the decision-making processes, and Epstein responded to it.
Joe and I aren't exactly the same. Yeah, I think his approach was more that, things will work themselves out. These are great players. Let them play. These things will work out. But from our perspective, or from my perspective, there was a little bit more cause for concern. And again, it's not an everyday thing that I would try to step in and offer feedback or help or remind about expectations.
All right. So in baseball, do and should GMs have more power than in other sports?
Well, clearly they do. should they is the question. Given that Joe Maddon, who is a World Series champion and one of the great men of baseball for the last few decades, in this case, he probably shouldn't have. I think there were other issues other than how he was managing this team. Then I think there was a lot of underachievement from a lot of players on the Cubs. So generally speaking, I'd say it's okay. Mm-hmm. But if you have Joe Maddon as your skip, stay out of it.
Yeah, Joe, and I really like Joe, and I like the hire for the Angels. But Joe, I can see Joe being the kind of, personality, likes to surf, likes to chill a little bit, where things go awry, his temperament is more, as Theo just said, it'll work itself out. Theo's a little more type A, in Boston, a little more frenetic. We got to beat the Yankees, got to beat the Yankees, got to beat the Yankees. Got to end the curse, got to end the curse. Like, I could see there being a disconnect, an approach there at some point.
Yep.
In terms of power, I think it should be a collaborative effort. That sounds like the easy way out because it almost never is. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got the hammer and somebody's got the juice more than the other people in the room. But in compared to the other sports, the GM is probably more important in baseball because there's so many. First of all, the roster's 25.
Yeah.
Well, football's a little bigger. But the fluctuate AAA and 10-day disabled list, and I could say that the GM's a little more important than baseball. I could probably say that. All right. NCAA President Mark Emmert and panel present case to Congress. Here we go. About college players getting paid. Better to have a national rule or let each state decide. Listen, the problem is if you let each state decide, you have an imbalance. You have a competitive disadvantage where kids, the state of South Carolina, you can do whatever you want, get paid. Now I'm going to Clemson rather than going to Miami or whatever it might be.
Yep.
And, at this point, you'd go to Clemson anyway over Miami.
Yeah,
but if there's monetary appeal, it really makes it a no-brainer. I think it needs to be one uniform overriding set of rules that are not state specific. That's an easy one for me.
I think you're right, and that's kind of what the NCAA was trying to do, BT, by going to or when they got called before Congress. They're asking for help. They're asking for guidance because they don't want to have to talk to different states about different rules as it pertains to different players. It gets really, really complicated.
No question about it.
This is a no-brainer. You got to have a universal rule or a federal rule as opposed to a state's rights rule.
Yep.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, there we go. Another show just about in the books. Now I got to sit in traffic for about 2 hours to get 14 miles to get to St. John's. Yeah, if I had a helicopter, if I could fly.
Where are they going? They're going. Who are they playing?
They're playing Providence tonight. Providence. It's on CBS Sports Network,
nice.
By the way.
Nice.
So can we get a little cross promotion love?
I mean, love it.
Would it kill CBS Sports Network to put the camera? Oh, look, there's Big T from Tops and from Tiki and Tierney. Let's interview them. They've never done that in all the years we've done the games. I'm sitting 5 feet away from them. I don't know. Let's get one of our guys on at halftime. See what he's got to say about the game.
Go Bogarted.
I don't do that. But I'm willing to jump. I'm not going to Bogart, but I'm willing to jump in.
Go elbow your way in.
Everybody have a great night. College Hoops coming up. Enjoy it. We will see you tomorrow. Great Thursday show is set up. We'll tell you what it is when we figure it out. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.